and I bring you news of grace and mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father. Now, the story we think about for today, it comes from the Holy Gospel of John the Baptist, and personally, this is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. I think it's also one of my son's. I don't know if it's a Schultz thing, a little kid thing, but there is something about, in our story for today, eating bugs that is icky and beautiful. Something about a guy wearing camel's hair and winnowing forks and fire that is just cool and engaging and makes you think. But this prophet, the one who cries out in the wilderness, that lone voice, the message that he speaks and we hear for today is this: prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, repent and believe the good news, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist is speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees, and their sins were public, denying what Jesus is and what his message was about to the kingdom of the world. And those Pharisees and Sadducees were rightly called out, as Jesus says, "You brood of vipers," and he tells them to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And Jesus and John also say the same message to us today as well. Some of our sins that we struggle with are very public. Some of them are not honoring God as the only true way, trusting in other things besides him, using his name in vain, not coming to worship as much as we should, or not holding God's word sacred as much as we should, not honoring those whom God has placed in our lives of authority, not honoring other people's needs, not honoring the purity of our own bodies, stealing from others, lying to others, being jealous of what God has given to somebody else. And there are so many sins that are public, and John the Baptist rightly says, even to us today, repent, turn from it, and believe the good news that the gospel is for you. This is the same John the Baptist who would lose his life in search of the kingdom of God. The same John the Baptist who would invite Jesus into the waters of baptism, not because Jesus needed to repent or be forgiven of anything. No, but John the Baptist, he would eventually invite Jesus into those waters, and Jesus, he doesn't get forgiven in those waters, but rather he takes the sins of the world upon himself in his baptism, past, present, and future, our sins. And there Jesus becomes our sin bearer, taking it to the cross, and by the righteous vindication and execution from our Heavenly Father, he says, "You are mine and you are loved." Our theme for today is repent of our public sins and repent even of our personal and private sins as well. So I have a friend who is a pastor. He recently went to a congregation, more or less recently. And his congregation, they did something, it was called a congregational survey. Have you guys ever heard of something like this before? So he lands there, and the first thing they do, God bless them, they say, "New pastor, we have 300-400 data surveys that we got. We did our own data with it, not a problem, but a great first task for you is this. We want you to go through the data. Tell us if there's any themes we missed, a great way to know the congregation." And he says, "Oh, goody." And he does it with joy. And I can tell you so many different questions that they have, but two in particular stick out. The first interesting one is this: on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the worst and 5 being the absolute best, how significant are you to the life and the mission of your church? And then a follow-up question: on a scale of 1 to 5, how significant is everyone else to the life and the mission of the church? Now, I could tell you all sorts of stories and names and examples, but there is only one name I want you to hear for today, and that is the name of Ethel. Everyone say Ethel.
Ethel.
Ethel's a saint. She's in her 70s. And if there ever was a Christian who should be a 5, exceeding, exceptional, outstanding, it should be Ethel. She went to every single Bible study under the sun. She even came to the Saturday morning men's Bible study. She couldn't participate, but she just wanted to serve coffee and donuts so one of the men didn't have to do that. And they could grow in their faith and word. Ethel was in the choir. And this church, they had a traditional service first and then a contemporary service. And everybody knew Ethel wasn't a fan of the contemporary service, but sometimes the choir would sing it both. And when they did, Ethel would stay for the entire last service. Why? Because she said, even though I don't like it, this is my family. And I need to get to know them. And last, most beautiful thing that honestly only a pastor could probably see. Ethel would hang out in the back of the church, just watching, just waiting. And she would try and notice if someone was new. And if they were, she would go and plop down next to them, open up the hymnal, show them how this awkward thing called Lutheran worship actually works. And she did it with a big smile on her face. And if anyone was a 5, it was Ethel. But my pastor friend gets her survey back. And it's anywhere from that reality. The first question, on a scale of 1 to 5, how important do you see yourself in the life and the mission of this church? She just writes, I don't like this question. How important is everybody else? She writes, I really don't like this question. So the pastor who is concerned goes to her and says, I have just a pastoral question for you because I care for you. You don't answer these questions, and I just want to know what's up, because Ethel, if anyone's a 5, it should be you. And she just looks at him and says, oh, thanks, pastor, but I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I know my deep, dark sins. I know the Ten Commandments, but I know the things that I personally struggle with and work on. I know what the scriptures say. How all of human race is bound and tethered by sin and corruption. How the book of Romans says that we are born as enemies of God. Children of wrath. And she says, true or false, pastor? When I get to judgment day, am I going to stand before my God and tell him that I am a 5? I'm a 1. And she says, true or false, pastor? In the scriptures, am I supposed to judge another servant of the Lord? Do I want to get to judgment day and say that I said another servant of the chosen Most High is anything but a 5 in his eyes? And pastor said, okay, Ethel, you know, I get it. And they had a good conversation in moment. But in that moment, after the pastoral conversation, nobody brought up this Bible passage for today, but they should have. Because this story for today, it speaks to the sins that everybody knows about. The sins that are public to every last single person, but it also speaks to those nitty-gritty personal sins. The things that me and you do, the pet sins that Satan himself has designed and created just for you. And so to the public and so to the private, Jesus and St. John say, repent and believe the good news. You know, we hear in the scriptures that God is love, and that is true. But God's love is shown in a variety of ways. But I got to tell you this. God's love is shown in a particular way. You know, what's the gospel in a nutshell? It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have life everlasting. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his truth, the truth of the one and only from the Father. And God gave. It's not just this idea of who God is. It's an act. It's a God give, not because he had to, because he chose to. This love, this act of divine retribution, here we see first with John the Baptist and ultimately with Jesus, is an act of love for people who are repentant. Why? Because at the end of the day, who is Ethel? At the end of the day, who am I? At the end of the day, who are you? By God's grace, we will be someone that Jesus talks about on the last day, not because of things we have done, but because of the things that Jesus has done through us. My friends, today we hear that gospel again. One not of our doing, but one of Jesus. One not of our hope, but the hope of Jesus embedded in us. One that is for us now and one that is for us in the future. So like St. John the Baptist way back when, and today we say it anew, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look up, your salvation is near. Jesus is coming soon. Look up, it's almost upon us. Look up, Jesus is coming soon. Believe the good news that is for you. May our Jesus always keep us mindful of this. We pray in his mercy and peace both now and forevermore. Amen.